You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
The A's are going to begin their season without really their main guy in the rotation, so we'll see how that is going to affect things come April. Let's talk to Jane Lee. I'm Allison Footer. Jane, okay, so Sonny Gray, last we talked, he'd had a really bad outing, and then nobody seemed worried about it, and then I think the next day it came out that he had a lat strain. So what's his prognosis, and what does this mean for the rotation going forward?
Yeah, he has been shut down from throwing for 3 weeks, so he will obviously begin the season on the disabled list. I guess he felt it right after that start, but didn't think it was anything at all. It was just kind of like a minor thing to him, didn't think much of it, and then the next day had an MRI, saw doctors, and they confirmed the strain, and I think it really took him by surprise. I mean, he was honestly shocked by the diagnosis. And, you know, to be shut down, that means you're basically, when you get back out there, starting almost from scratch, you know, where he was when he got hurt. So the A's are hoping, I think, to have him maybe at the end of April. I think that's kind of best case scenario. If everything goes well, the thing with lats is you just don't know. It's kind of like, you know, oblique strains where some guys could be out 1 month, some guys could be out a couple of months. Lat strains have also, you know, kept pitchers out for almost a whole season. So they are probably going to be pretty conservative, cautious with him. But it's just kind of a bummer for everyone involved, especially Sonny, because he did come to camp completely healthy, feeling good. You know, he said after the diagnosis of the lat strain, you know, this is the best my arms felt in a long time. So I think everyone just, you know, feels for him first and foremost, especially considering what he went through last year, you know, the injuries, the struggles, and then for this to happen right away, and it's not even, you know, an issue with the arm or anything like that, I think it's pretty frustrating for them. And it goes without saying that it has a big impact on the team. I mean, this is their guy. This is their ace. They hadn't officially named him the opening day starter, but I think it, you know, went without saying that he was definitely going to be that guy. It opens up an opportunity for Kendall Graveman to slide into that slot. Pretty safe to assume that he will be there on opening night. And then it also opens up another slot in the rotation. And there were several guys fighting for that fifth spot. So two will now make the cut. And I think right now the presumed leading candidates are Andrew Triggs and Jesse Hahn. So give those guys an opportunity. But when you start the season without your number one starter, you know, especially for a team that's trying to, you know, jump out to a good start, not fall behind too quickly, you know, they're just a team that's really trying to improve each and every day. And when you can't count on someone like Sonny Gray, you don't have him every fifth day to begin with, it kind of puts you in hole early. And I know that they feel very confident in Graveman and the guys that are behind him. I think it was Stephen Vogt that says, you know, no one replaces a Sonny Gray. So I think everyone's just hoping that he needs the minimal time to recover and rehab, and hopefully they have him for the second month of the season.
Yeah, I guess there seems to be some depth, or maybe not depth, but talent with the other starters in the rotation. I think if you kind of look, I mean, we've talked about in the offseason, like, you know, what's the most optimistic segment of this team? I guess the starting pitching is what everyone has got a little excited about. So in those terms, it's not like you can make up for him, and it's going to definitely hurt the team. But there are other guys on the days that they're pitching, it seems like they'll be able to go deep into games. They're not going to have to wear on the bullpen. So I guess that's kind of a silver lining.
Definitely. I mean, they could be in a much worse situation. I mean, they've always prided themselves in their depth, particularly starting pitching depth. And, I mean, Graveman made all of his starts last year, all 32 of his starts. He was the most durable of the bunch when everyone else, it seemed, was getting hurt. He is a guy that you can count on. And behind him, I mean, Sean Manaea is probably not too far off from being, you know, an ace of a staff. I mean, he kind of showed flashes of it last year. And, you know, I think coming into a second season with that experience under your belt, I think he'll be all the better for it. And I think he could definitely stand out in that rotation, as well as Jarrell Cotton, who's pitching behind him. So two really exciting young arms with a ton of talent behind Graveman. And I've always, you know, been big on Jesse Hahn. I mean, this is a guy that was basically their number three starter just a couple years ago, then got hurt, had a bit of a down year last year. And I think it was more maybe losing some confidence when you're going up and down and, you know, can't really get back to the form that he was when he was so good for them in 2015. But he looked really good this spring, and, you know, I think having him in the rotation, I think he'll do a good job. And the A's have been really high on Triggs since last year, since they kind of converted him from the bullpen into a starter. So definitely a solid group, and there's even more depth beyond that. So, you know, not an ideal situation with Sunny going down, but I think it could also be worse.
Yeah, definitely. And so another injury news, Jake Smolinski. So he appears to have a little bit of an injury issue, which could shuffle things in the outfield. So what's going on with that?
Yeah, he came to camp with a bit of a shoulder issue, and so he didn't get into games for the first couple of weeks. And when he did, he was only DHing because he still couldn't throw and be in the outfield. And it turns out that he will have shoulder surgery this week, which obviously precludes him from the opening day mix. And I think coming into spring training, you know, everyone thought that he would be that 25th guy on the roster, presuming that they take a fifth outfielder, which I think seems to be the way they're leaning. There was thought of maybe carrying a third catcher or even maybe an eighth reliever. But I think just looking at the makeup of their roster right now, a fifth outfielder, someone who could back up Rajay Davis in center field, it seems to make the most sense right now. So with Smolinski out of the mix, they do have two non-roster guys that are having really good springs, Alejandro Daza, a veteran guy, and Jeff Decker. So they will be taking a very hard look at those two guys in camp. There's been a slew of cuts this week. So the clubhouse, it seems like it's gotten a lot smaller in terms of guys in there, but they have kept those two guys around clearly for a reason. And now, you know, it becomes especially important for them. And I would think that one of them would be that 25th guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, always interesting. Jane, thank you so much. Catch up with you next time. Halfway through spring training, the Rangers are still trying to sort out their starting rotation. Let's talk to TR Sullivan about that and more. I'm Allison Footer. TR, let's start with just kind of some of the rotation issues. So Andrew Cashner seems to be progressing well, but there's still some rotation concerns, and I guess it's getting kind of late in the picture for this. So how is that all going to shake out?
Well, I think it's taken a big turn for the better lately. Three guys have really stepped up. Dylan G, Michael Hochschild, and A.J. Griffin have all been excellent in their last couple outings. And they've really eased the Rangers' minds a little bit about what they're going to do while Andrew Cashner and Tyson Ross are on the disabled list to start the season. G's a veteran who's had success in the big leagues. So is Griffin. They've had their physical issues. They've had a long road back, but they've looked pretty good this year. So I think they're feeling good. They're still going to look at Chichi Gonzalez. They're still going to look at Nick Martinez. And they still have Eddie Gamboa, the knuckleballer, who's still a work in progress. But the guy who's kind of excited everybody was Mike Hochschild, the Rule 5 pick from Houston. He has shown up very well this year with a going strikes, good mix of pitches. He's been very impressive.
So I guess that's a good thing, right? When you don't have to, when the teams don't feel like they have to scramble to get somebody from the outside, you know, as the last week to 10 days of spring training approaches, trying to just get another arm in there. So they feel pretty good about their internal options.
Yeah, I mean, considering that, you know, they hope Cash will be back sometime late in April, and Ross probably take a little longer, mid-May or beginning of June. But, yeah, I mean, you're not asking these guys to be number one or number two starters. That's for Cole Hamels and Yu Darvish. They're just talking about back-of-the-end rotation guys. Give them innings. You know, the Rangers could have an outstanding bullpen. Got a lot of power arms out there. So if you get a guy, give him five or six innings and just keep him in the game, I mean, that's all they're asking. And these guys have a track record of doing it when they're healthy.
There was an interesting article that you wrote about Delino DeShields, just kind of trying to find his way onto this team in a role, and he's really had a nice spring, so he's still gunning for a starting outfield job, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's the guy with the speed, he's the guy with the, you know, the old prototypical leadoff hitter mentality, you know, bunt, keep the ball on the ground, do all those things. He did that well in 2015. when he was the Rangers' leadoff hitter. Last year, I think he tried to change his game a little bit, tried to muscle up a little bit so he could be more than just a little slap hitter. And I think that cost him a little bit. He lost some of his speed and explosiveness in the process. I think this year he's really trying to find the balance between having, you know, the speed and the small ball game, but still be able to drive the ball when he has to. And that's kind of the thing every young leadoff hitter has to kind of manage, you know, whether you're going to be just a total sellout Juan Pierre, or a lot of singles, or you're going to try to add something to your game. And, you know, I don't want to say Craig Biggio, but, you know, that type of guy who could do more than just, who could drive the ball, steal bases, do it all as an offensive player.
Yeah, and he's still young, so he still has a lot of upside and things that good things that could happen over the next year or two. So I want to talk a little World Baseball Classic, because that seems to be one of the more interesting things going on for everyone at spring training. There are quite a few Rangers that are participating in the World Baseball Classic for various teams. I had the pleasure of watching Jonathan Lucroy really throw his body out there for Team USA, which I was thinking, you know, might not really be exactly what the Rangers might want to see. But these games have been fun. From a team standpoint, though, are there any issues with these guys not being in camp, and just from a continuity standpoint, trying to sort of get the 25-man roster together, playing more consistently? Is that an issue at all?
Well, it's, I don't know if we call it an issue, but it's something on their minds. I mean, obviously, they'd like to have Adrian Beltre here providing his leadership, Rougned Odor providing his energy. Jeff Bannister brought up a great point today. You know, they didn't have Elvis Andrus for 2 weeks because he was, you know, coming back from that sports hernia injury. And then he finally got into the lineup earlier this week, and he said you can really see the team pick up, having Elvis back in the dugout, bouncing around, yapping, and doing all those things that Elvis can do. So, yeah, not having a Beltre here or a LaCroix or Odor is not what they want. But the other thing is, you know, what do they have to do to get them ramped up? Because LaCroix is sharing time with Buster Posey. Rougned Odor is sharing time with Jose Altuve. Sam Dyson is just one of many relievers. Beltre, you know, they're taking, you know, he's getting regular play time for the Dominican, but, you know, you still got to come up with a plan. The guy that's really benefiting is Jurickson Profar. He's right there in the middle of the, in the Netherlands, and he's playing center field, and he's a big, big part of that team, and he's playing every day. And, you know, Netherlands is having a great tournament. Their games are intense, and I think the Rangers really like what Jurickson Profar is getting out of it as far as just the whole experience and everything like that.
Yeah, I remember talking to you about just, like, should Adrian Beltre be playing? You know, he's obviously an older player who's been nursing some injury issues. You know, I covered that series in Miami, and the Dominican Republic fans were, you know, 35,000 strong coming out to that ballpark, sold out crowds, just a raucous party. There's so much country pride when it comes to the Dominican Republic. And as much as I get it and I understand it, it still just kind of hits you when you're right in the middle of it and you can see just how important it is. There's an importance on these games that you're not going to see maybe in the United States for just, it's just kind of a, I don't know, just a cultural reason. But I can understand where Beltre absolutely was not going to not be a part of this. And that's just part of where they come from, right?
Well, the Dominican Republic has just been huge for Major League Baseball. I don't
absolutely
think anybody really appreciates that little country and what they go through and the players that they've developed and what they've added to this game and the excitement. And you got to really feel good for the Dominican Republic. I mean, we all watch the summer and the Winter Olympics, and you don't hear the Dominican Republic mentioned much, if at all, in any of those things. I mean, this is their game. This is their passion. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, they've been a huge part of Major League Baseball for, you know, 50 years, ever since the San Francisco Giants were the first ones to go down there and start getting those guys, Juan Marichal and, I guess, the Alou brothers. And, I mean, it's been awesome to watch.
Yeah, we were, there's like 12 Colombian players who have made it to the big league. There's X amount of Canadian players. There's 473 Dominican-born players who play in the major leagues. It is, what a talented group of players. So it's been a lot of fun. So, okay, TR, thank you so much. Get back to it. We'll talk to you soon. The Astros are about halfway through spring training, and things appear to be coming together a little bit. Let's talk to Brian McTaggart about all of that. I am Allison Sutter. Tags, the first thing I actually want to talk about is sort of non-Astros, but World Baseball Classic. So I was just in Miami covering that pool, and the United States is one of those teams. And so Alex Bregman is on that team, and late into the series, I said, I would like to see Alex Bregman get a little playing time because Josh Harrison and Alex Bregman had not appeared in a game yet, and I sort of reminded people that they are getting ready for spring training. They're getting ready for their season. And then, lo and behold, AJ Hinch kind of had the same reaction to that. That's kind of the downside, I guess, to being a part of that team and not being a starter, right? I mean, Alex Bregman needs to get some at-bats at some point.
Yeah, I mean, he's been gone from the team now for 10 days, basically, and has one at-bat. So, you know, had he been here, he'd probably have, you know, another 20, 25 at-bats playing in the Grapefruit League games. And, you know, especially for a young guy like Bregman, who, this is his first full Major League spring training, you know, those at-bats matter. So, yeah, I think Hinch was a little frustrated that Alex wasn't playing. And, you know, Jim Leland said a couple of weeks ago that Alex would play. And, you know, you don't expect him to start over, you know, Arenado or Crawford at shortstop, I guess, where he's more likely to play at this point. But the fact that through 2.5 games he hadn't even been on the field, I think, was a little disappointing for the Astros. And, you know, and now they're through to the next round. So, you know, it could be another week if he doesn't play where he's missing a lot of at-bats. So not ideal for the Astros. But, you know, Bregman signed up for it, and they were supportive. So they're kind of at the mercy of Jim Leland and how they want to use him.
Yeah, it's a tough spot for Jim Leland to be in because there's all these outside factors that do factor into it, and that includes pitchers being on pitch counts, pitchers that have committed to their teams to only go X amount of innings, the importance of trying to win these games. And, yeah, there's no easy answer to all of that, but I guess we'll just hope that he gets some at-bats this next round. So moving on, Kevin Chapman was claimed off waivers by the Braves. I guess that's not, like, a big deal or a huge surprise. He was pitching for Team Canada, and I had kind of noted on our radio broadcast, he'd been in the Astros system for a while. He's one of Jeff Luna's first trades. And they got him from Kansas City. And so it's 5 years later, I guess they've kind of seen all they were going to see of him. So it probably wasn't some huge deal.
Yeah, he was out of options, so they kind of had to make a decision about him. I mean, they brought in a couple of left-handers in the offseason. T.J. Riefenhauser, they claimed Asher Tolliver off waivers to kind of give him that left-handed depth serving the same role that Chapman's serving in. And, you know, he pitched a lot the first couple of years he was here. Last couple of years, limited to 12 appearances combined. So, you know, the Astros are still struggling for some left-handed depth in that bullpen. I mean, especially if Tony Sipp isn't pitching well, and, you know, he didn't pitch well last year, because it looks like now Sipp is pretty much the only lefty they're going to carry in their bullpen to start the year. You know, Riefenhauser and Tolliver haven't had good springs. They're not going to make the club. So they're still looking for that somebody with a left hand who can pitch and relief effectively to step up. And, you know, Chapman was just, you know, the guy was out of options. You know, the Braves, you know, makes sense for them. I mean, it cost them $25,000. So, you know, they got 2 weeks to take a look at him and see if he's better than anybody else they have in camp.
Now, A.J. Reed has made an interesting case for himself, and there's probably still no room for him on the opening day roster. You know, a year ago, they really had high hopes for him, and then he kind of struggled a little bit. But you kind of talked to A.J. Hinch about just the plan for how many pitchers the team is going to carry, and I guess maybe that means Reed could be the odd man out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if Reed would have hit like this last spring, he could have made the opening day roster. Maybe, you know, I don't know, that might have been too big of a jump. Tyler White ended up getting that spot at first. But, yeah, I mean, if you just look at the breakdown of the roster, they're pretty certain they're going to carry 13 pitchers, which leaves 12 position players. That means the backups are Marisnik, Aoki, Marwin on the infield, and you have McCann and Gattis behind the plate. There's no room for that next wave of guys, including A.J. Reed. And Colin Moran's right there, swung a very good bat. Tony Kemp, Teoscar Hernandez, and Tyler White, who was on the opening day roster last year. If they carry 13 pitchers and they're healthy on the position player side, there's no room for those five guys. But you know, we all know how this goes. I mean, underperformance and injury, things change. I mean, look at last year when second game of the year, McHugh goes out of the game early, and Michael Feliz comes in and throws, you know, a ton of pitches, and they have to send him down, and they bring up Davinsky, and he turns out being their pitcher of the year. So those guys are going to go to AAA. They're going to provide some depth, and they got to be ready. And who knows, maybe they can use them as trade chips down the road. But it is promising that AJ has come here, and his swing path is better. He's hitting the ball better. He would have had 5 home runs. He hit one right into the teeth of the wind one time. So he swung the bat very, very well. And even though he's not going to make the team, that's a real positive.
How does the team feel just about how things are going right now in spring training? Keuchel seems to be healthy. McCullers is putting in his work and seeing some results. So are things pretty steady as far as that's concerned?
Yeah, it's hard on the position player side because you were without, you know, those four core pieces to your lineup that are at the WBC. So you've
right.
seen a lot of the Morans and Kemps in game after game. But as far as pitching goes, I think they feel it's starting to come into place. I mean, McCullers made his second start of the spring on Tuesday. Keuchel is coming up on Friday with his second start in the spring. So it seems like, you know, those easing into those programs is kind of behind them now. And now they're about building up the pitch counts. Charlie Morton has looked very well. Musgrove has looked very good. Colin McHugh is through a live batting practice on Tuesday and without any issues. So he, you know, he's suffering from some dead arms. So it looks like he could be now slotted into games. And all of a sudden, your rotation now is taking shape. And there were, you know, a lot of questions about, of course, Keuchel and McCullers at the top, and even Morton coming off an injury, and McHugh with a dead arm. But knock on wood, if you're the Astros, so far so good. You know, everybody's healthy. But that's one of the reasons they want to carry 13 pitchers. It just is, you know, there's guys coming off injuries, and they want to have an extra arm in case, you know, a problem arises, and they either slot fires into the bullpen or do whatever they have to do. They want to have the luxury of doing that.
So the starting rotation, as it looks right now, like who would be that fifth starter?
I would say now, based on what we've seen, I think it would be Musgrove. I mean, he looks the part of a major league pitcher to me. I know that Hinch has been impressed with him. You know, he's got pinpoint control. I think he's pitching with confidence based on what he did last year. Fires, at his turn, skipped because of a sore hamstring. But I think they kind of know what Fires can do. And, you know, I think they want to find a way to get both Fires and Musgrove onto the team. But if I were going to handicap it right now, I think Musgrove's got the leg up. I think he's got more upside. And I think they'd be more comfortable with Fires serving in that long relief role than he would Musgrove.
Okay, well, we're going to end this with a tweet from Bob Nightingale from the USA Today. So as we were talking about Alex Bregman needing more playing time, he is making his first start at shortstop tomorrow for Team USA. So
there you go.
We take it all back. So thank you very much. So everybody tune in to watch Team USA. It's been really fun. I know you've been watching some of these games. I've never been so riveted during spring training in my entire two-decade career which isn't saying much because spring training is not the most exciting time, but these games have been amazing. And I guess it's been really fun there seems to be a heightened interest in this year, I'm trying to figure out why, and I think there's a lot of young stars for every country that we're seeing. Have you been finding these games to be pretty entertaining?
Yeah, obviously the game in Miami on Saturday was, you know, Dominican U.S. looked like it was, you know, had the atmosphere of, you know, Game 7 of the World Series. I was actually in Miami for Sunday night's game for a bit, the U.S.-Canada game, a little lackluster, but you got a tiebreaker from Mexico, the Italy-Dominican tiebreaker, no, the Italy-Venezuela tiebreaker.
Yeah.
On Monday night. I was watching that in my hotel room and fighting not to fall asleep. And then when Miguel Cabrera hit the home run to tie it, and then they ended up taking the lead, I turned it off after 9 innings. But yeah, I mean, I was, you know, they were playing in an empty stadium just because Mexico was eliminated. But I was pretty riveted to see how that was going to go down and see if Italy could pull off the upset. But it has been a lot of fun. I mean, I would like to see more of the stars play, the Bryce Harpers and Mike Trouts and those guys, Chris Bryant. But the rosters are pretty stacked as it is right now. And, you know, not only that, but I think watching teams like Israel and Italy do so well against these teams that have more major leaguers, you know, I think that's what makes it intriguing as well, to see the underdogs come in and play so well.
Yeah, it's definitely so much fun in, from that respect. So, okay, Tags, thank you so much. Catch up with you next time. The Angels received a promising outing from a pitcher that they're going to be relying a lot on this season, hopefully. So that's very encouraging. Let's talk to Maria Gardotto about all of that. I am Allison Twitter. Maria, good stuff about Matt Shoemaker, who is coming back from just a really scary way to end the season last year, taking a ball to his head. So he had a nice outing against the Royals recently, and I guess that's like, I mean, Mike Scioscia sounded, for Mike Scioscia, very jubilant. He doesn't really get too high or too low on anything, but I would imagine that was really encouraging for him to see that.
Yeah. I mean, I would think that the Angels are really happy with how Matt Shoemaker has kind of bounced back. He obviously had to undergo emergency brain surgery when he suffered that scary injury to the head in September and had a skull fracture. And, you know, now he seems perfectly normal. The only lasting vestige of that injury seems to be that scar that he has on the side of his head. But other than that, he said that he feels great. And, you know, obviously the outing against the Royals the other day was something was really encouraging because the Angels are really going to need him to be a strong starter at the top of the rotation alongside Garrett Richards. So, yeah, I mean, definitely everything looks really promising on that end for him and the Angels.
Yeah, I mean, he was wearing the protection in the cap. They kind of introduced this contraption. I don't remember exactly when, maybe it was last season. And not a lot of guys had taken them up on it. Not a lot of pitchers want to wear it. They think it's uncomfortable. It might throw them off a little bit. So basically what it is a plate that's fitted into the cap. And I don't know if that's like the same thing that was sort of introduced in a more general way to the rest of baseball. But, I mean, it seems like just a logical thing to do, right? I mean, if you see this happen to like one guy, I mean, why wouldn't you want to put that in your cap?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like it's kind of interesting that that's kind of what it takes to get guys interested in this headgear is having to, unfortunately, go through that type of injury first. But, yeah, I mean, Matt Shoemaker has said he's been playing around with a couple of designs. The one that he's been wearing recently is kind of, like, as you said, a small, maybe like 6-inch carbon plate that they actually wear on the inside of their cap. And it actually only covers the right side of his head, which is where he got hit. He also has another design that's kind of like a U that's also like wrapped around the front of the head. And I think that those are probably two of the more less invasive designs that are out there. I mean, obviously there have been other caps that kind of have that halo on the outside, but I don't think he's played around with those yet. But, you know, the main thing that he's always said is that he'll use one if he feels comfortable and he doesn't feel it during the game. And I think that with these two designs, he's kind of achieved that. But he's also left open the possibility of not wearing any headgear. So, you know, there's also that, but I think on all of his outings so far, he has used protective headgear. So I don't know. That might suggest that he is leaning towards using one of those designs once the season comes.
Yeah, I mean, I did see one design. It is very, like, it looks funny. It almost looks like a chef's hat because it's so poofy. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I'm sorry. When it comes to protecting your head, I don't care. I wouldn't care what I looked like. But, you know, some guys are more image conscious than others. Moving on to fifth starter competition. So there seem to be three guys that are gunning for one spot in that rotation. Has that sorted itself out at all? I know that Alex Meyer had a nice outing recently. Is that going to come down to the wire, you think?
I think it probably will. I think that at the beginning of the spring, I'm sure Jesse Chavez was kind of the front runner for that spot just because he has the most guaranteed money. You know, he signed a one-year $5.75 million deal over the offseason, so that would kind of suggest that, you know, that it was kind of his job to lose. Alex Meyer had kind of actually struggled, like, his first two outings, so it was kind of good to see him rebound from that and be strong in his most recent start. But, you know, Mike Scioscia has already said that the Angels view him as a starter, so essentially if he doesn't crack the rotation, then he's going to open the season in AAA as a starter as opposed to looking out of the bullpen in the majors. So I think that, you know, I think Alex Meyer will probably have to string together, you know, a few more good starts in order to really challenge Jesse Chavez for that role. But I also think that the Angels wouldn't really hesitate to move Chavez into the bullpen if Alex Meyer emerges as a strong candidate, just because Chavez has actually worked out of the bullpen before and he's shown that he can, you know, do that with success. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's really going to come down to the wire. I mean, some other guys who could also be kind of in the mix are Yusmeiro Petit and Bud Norris. You know, Petit has been away for the World Baseball Classic, so the Angels haven't seen as much as him. And then Bud Norris had, like, a nail thing that kind of slowed him down. But, you know, he's a veteran guy who has experience in the major leagues. So they definitely have some options there. And I think that, it probably will be a couple more weeks before that competition is kind of determined.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the Angels, I would think that if I'm a pitcher who's gunning for a fifth starter spot, that I'm thinking, like, even if I don't make it and I have to start at AAA, like, the odds are that I'm going to be up at some point, because they, I mean, they have had so many problems. Even if, like, the guys that have been out, you know, had so many injury issues last year, I mean, there's, it's highly likely that something's going to happen to one of them, or, you know, you hope that it doesn't, but just trying to even come back, that there might be a DL stint with fatigue or something. I would think that a fifth starter candidate on this team would be, I don't know, feel pretty good about things.
Definitely. I mean, and they've also had another injury of sorts with Tyler Skaggs, who's projected to be in the rotation, but he had some shoulder weakness. So he got, you know, he got his last start got skipped, but I think he's starting Wednesday against the Giants, so he'll be back in the rotation. But, yeah, I mean, they're really kind of operating on very thin pitching depth. So, you know, chances are that one of those guys will eventually see time in the rotation, unfortunately, just because that's the way things tend to go in baseball, you know. You know, Garrett Richards is coming back from a damaged ulnar collateral ligament. He obviously ended with that, you know, kind of alternative stem cell therapy that actually worked for him. But, you know, there aren't a lot of guys who have kind of opted for that treatment. So it's going to be interesting to see if it, you know, how well his elbow holds up under that treatment. So that will be something definitely to watch for the entire year.
And last topic, J.C. Ramirez. So is he a possible – have they been stretching him out? I mean, he looked like he was tagged for the bullpen. What's going on with him?
Yeah, so the Angels claimed him off waivers from the Reds last year, and then he pitched pretty well for the Angels out of the bullpen, you know, the second half. And the Angels liked his stuff enough that they decided that they would bring him into camp as a starter. He actually hasn't been a starter since, you know, he was in the minor leagues in 2011 or so. So it's been a while since he's kind of done that role. But, you know, he's introduced a curveball into his arsenal to go along with his fastball and slider. And, you know, he showed some mixed results. You know, in his most recent start, he gave up a 3-run homer in the first inning, then retired the next 9 batters in a row, and then gave up another solo home run. So, you know, he definitely has shown potential to be successful in that role, and I think that the Angels are willing to kind of go along with his experiment with the hope that he'll be able to you know, be a potential starting option for them in case of injury. But I think, yeah, since he's out of options, he's probably going to be ticketed for the bullpen. But, you know, he could also be kind of a, you know, multi-inning reliever out of there, or even potentially move into the rotation if need be. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's all about just bolstering their pitching depth and giving themselves more options of flexibility with their staff.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is the time of year where things start to sort of work themselves out. The picture becomes a little bit clearer, and it seems like even with the Angels, all their issues, even they seem to be figuring some things out. So, okay, Maria, good stuff. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next week.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Allison.
The Mariners are sailing through spring training with the absence of several of their key players, which is making everything interesting all over the place. Let's talk to Greg Johns about that. I'm Allison Fitter. Greg, I have been in Miami watching your players playing the World Baseball Classic. So I've been really excited to see the performances of some of these guys. Of course, Nelson Cruz, Robinson Cano, Gene Segura. But you guys, your team that you're covering right now has probably been missing them. So I guess we can't really place a lot of, we never place importance on spring training games, but now more than ever, these games probably don't resemble anything close to what the team is going to look like when the regular season starts.
Yeah, it's a manager Scott Service, while supportive of his guys in the WBC, is clearly would love to have some of them back. You know, you're missing the heart of their order, the 2-3-4 hitters and 3 of their 5 rotation guys and their closer, and that's a big chunk coming out of camp. And I think they're starting to feel it a little bit. They're rolling out a lot of young kids, a lot of young pitching, and I guess today, coming off a 24-3 loss to the White Sox yesterday. The Brewers in a game that wasn't exactly what anybody wants to see, even in spring training for a manager. I think Scott was a little. I like the WBC. I'd like it to get over and get some of these guys back. But interestingly, Mariners Drew Smyly is going to be starting Wednesday for Team USA, and the expected starter for Team Venezuela will be one Felix Hernandez. So two Mariners throwing against each other, and as Service said, we'll be watching that one with interest here in Peoria. So, yeah, fun to see guys around. Certainly the Dominican team looking great with Cano and Cruz and Segura all playing big roles and doing some big stuff. So fun to see, but from a Mariner perspective, kind of like to get them all back here in camp and see this team they're expecting to put together.
Yeah, is there any importance to having the team that that somewhat resembles opening day roster, like playing together several times this time of the spring, or is it more important maybe just the last week to start sort of getting that going with a regular lineup? I mean, is there anything to continuity or playing with each other? Does that really matter?
I mean, I think it does in a fashion. I mean, there's a reason, you know, as you get toward the end of spring, you just see the normal lineup starting to get out there a little more. I think in the Mariners' case, you know, they'll have those guys back for at least a week before they get to opening day. And I think one thing that really maybe helps there is Segura and Cano, second and short. You know, those guys you kind of want playing together, getting used to each other here as new teammates. But they are two guys that work out together in the Dominican during the off season, and also obviously together on the Dominican team here in the WBC. So at least you get your middle infield guys working together even through this. And you know, I think you know, baseball being baseball, I think you can put together guys as long as they're in game shape and game ready, and your pitchers are stretched out. I don't think it's a huge concern not being together, but you know, Service is a big chemistry guy, and I think he does miss the kind of that veteran group in the clubhouse, kind of team meetings and things. And you know, I think that part they miss a little bit, because kind of that the veteran guys being here and kind of being the center of things and kind of all that stuff. But still plenty of time. I don't think it's a big concern, but certainly kind of an interesting sidelight to the spring.
Yeah, another kind of neat Mariners angle that I was able to follow along with in these games in Miami is Tyler O'Neill, who played for Team Canada. I was really looking forward to watching him play, watching him hit. And the issue kind of was Team Canada is not a good team. and that is not a slam on them, because, I mean, they participate in a lot of international competition, but they had a lot of major league guys that said no, that they didn't want to play for Team Canada. And they really were able to really trot out almost nothing. And it was unfortunate. But Tyler O'Neill, you know, appeared to have some promise. And so what can you tell us about him? I know that he's a top prospect. So what should I be looking for from him in the next couple of years?
Yeah, he's an interesting kid. Just a stocky, muscly guy. His dad was Mr. Canada.
We talked about that many times.
And Tyler is kind of Mr. Canada Jr. I mean, this is a guy who spent a lot of time in a weight room, and he doesn't look like a typical baseball player when you see him in the clubhouse, but he's a good athlete, can run, got a real good pop, and not a big guy, but he's put together, and they like him. He was played double-A ball last year, was the Southern League Player of the Year, I believe, and their Mariners Minor League Player of the Year, the offensive player, he'll be at Triple-A Tacoma, I believe, to start this year, and is a guy that's kind of knocking on the door. You know, he's not ready yet, 21 years old, and probably wasn't ready for WBC, really, to be honest. I mean, he got in there against pretty good pitching, and I think, you know, eyes open a little bit and that. But he showed up back in camp today, talked to him, and young kid with all kinds of confidence, just said it was a great experience playing down there in Miami. And as you know, being down there, he said the atmosphere was just crazy. It was electric, and you know, that chance to play in front of big crowds and the chanting and the noise and things, that he was pretty pumped up about the whole experience, and kind of kid that wants to take that and build on it and get in a major league club and experience that kind of thing in the postseason and such. And that's just kind of what he said he took out of it. He just felt like it was kind of a glimpse into, you know, what can be in the future. So they like him. I think Mariner fans are going to be interested to watch him in Tacoma this year and see how close he is.
Yeah, it was really cool for these young guys to kind of experience that. You know, I don't think you can match that kind of atmosphere. I think it's obviously, like, postseason crowds would be as loud and raucous, but my goodness, as Dominican Republic fans, they know how to bring it. So it was really fun.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to more stuff that's actually going on in Arizona. Shea Simmons, give us a health update on him.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Really the first injury they've had in camp. Shea's a hard-throwing 26-year-old out of, they got him from the Braves by trade this year. And figured in kind of that back end of the bullpen mix. They thought he might be one of the key guys there, and still do. He's had arm troubles in the past, though. Tommy John a couple years ago, And so when he had to be pulled out mid-inning this past weekend, you know, some concern was raised, and certainly for Shea himself, I mean, having had arm problems in the past, he certainly never liked to see a guy come out. They did an MRI, and they don't believe any. They said no structural damage, more of a forearm muscular situation. So they're going to shut him down for a little while, let that quiet down, and hope to get him back. They haven't really set a firm timetable, but we'll keep an eye on that. Sometimes those little injuries tend to drag out longer than hoped, but they're optimistic that it's not going to be too long, and that he can be back in game form by the end of spring. So that's one to keep an eye on, especially with the two right-handers, Steve Cishek and Tony Zick, that came into camp, the two guys that had medical issues and both kind of working their way back. Zick a little ahead of Cishek. Cishek had that microfracture hip surgery in the offseason, and he's not going to be ready for the start of the year, doesn't look. Zick kind of pushing forward, going to get up on the mounds, throw some bullpens this week, and they hope to get him game ready here towards the end of spring. So those are a couple more key right-handers, and Simmons as well in that mix. So guys that they want to keep an eye on as they go in. They still got guys, but those are some key arms they expect to have here this year.
Okay, and then what about the starting rotation? Chris Heston, he's been having a pretty decent spring, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's had a very good spring. He's probably more of a Tacoma guy to start out, if assuming everybody stays healthy. You know, you got Felix and Iwakuma, Paxton, Smiley, and Gallardo is the clear five going in, and Ariel Miranda kind of is the sixth guy if needed. So Heston, while having a great spring and kind of showing what he was with the Giants 2 years ago when he won 12 games as a rookie and threw a nice little no-hitter against the Mets. So he's a guy that's got a little track record in the big leagues and had a tough time last year, but they're hoping he could be a bounce-back guy and kind of fit in that if-needed, when-needed type role in Tacoma. That it seems last year, 13 pitchers, they certainly needed him often, so he could be a guy that we see before too long if he pitches as well as he's doing right now.
Okay, good stuff, Greg. Thank you as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
You bet, Allison.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.